Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, January 6th, sixth day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, a guy who has 6 cents, Bill McCauley.
6 cents?
Yeah, huh. I saw the nickel and penny.
I'm loaded.
Yeah. You said loaded, not bloated, right?
Loaded. Well,
I mean, based on today's, this week in the Congress.
And based on all the holiday eating that I did, bloated is not a bad characterization, but I always lose weight in tax season, so.
Yeah, that's the starvation plan?
Yeah, exactly.
Or the work yourself to death plan.
It's kind of an amalgamation. So, it's long hours and don't stop to eat very much. And so, and then if you get a nice
beats
big,
running, doesn't it?
If you get a nice big helping of stress to put on top of it, it's just like,
I found stress goes the other way. Mm-hmm. It's more of a counterbalance to any eating well.
Yeah, no, I do lose weight every year in taxis. Not that this really matters, but and it is a function of just, I just am busy and then I don't have a lot of downtime where I might snack. So I kind of eat I kind of eat at planned times, and I don't eat in between.
How boring.
Well,
you need an office refrigerator, man.
I am an accountant.
Yeah.
So the boring thing might run hand in hand.
Yeah.
And there is a refrigerator about 12 steps from my from my desk, so.
And you just pull out the keg plug?
Yeah. You know what?
I do like
a beer now and then, but it would not be a good thing for me to have a keg too close.
Talking about creative tax preparation, huh?
Yeah, it would not be a good thing for a lot of reasons. So.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be able to lose weight in taxes.
Good. So. Well, this afternoon we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of those creative rules that came down after we got together last in December, some of the things we should be anticipating, some of the things that might be even pleasant surprises. All right, surprises. When we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:14. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see. Is there a tax one in here anywhere?
I doubt it.
No, probably not, huh?
Did you say attack or a tax?
Well, take your pick.
Yeah. Inquiring mind.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, our quote this afternoon comes from Lewis Mumford. Quote, our national flower is the concrete clover leaf. Boy. So what did you run into in the second half of December with all this stuff? I know last time we got together you said probably on that Thursday we're going to have some stuff and started hearing a little bit Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
And then they kind of hung around a little bit and then everybody went home.
Yeah, they actually stayed a little longer than I thought than normally.
The Redskins had a chance to win the last home game.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, were they playing the 49ers?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I can say
The Spartans.
What happened was as we got into the middle part, after the first week of December, things got pretty serious, and they finally got through and got past some of the negotiating posture that sides had, and as sides would have in this kind of a situation. And we got an extension of some tax provisions that were very much needed in terms of trying to avoid kind of a relatively inequitable tax treatment year over year for people. And so we have a new piece of law called the Tax Increase Prevention Act, or TIPA. But it's not one of those that we'll be
TIPA
talking
me
about.
Over and pour me out?
It's not one of those. I mean, there are acts over the years that we still use the acronym for, like TEFRA and things like this. But TIPA probably won't be back in terms of part of the jargon in tax law, because really it was really a kind of an isolated piece of legislation. What it really did was it extended some provisions of law that had been in place for 2013. Keep in mind, we're in 2015 right now. And in the middle of December, we got the law set for 2014. So that was good. We got it nailed down before year end this time, which was really good.
Didn't bother putting a second year on it?
No. So, and I think there's probably some good reasons for that. There was some discussion about trying to, and there were certain parties that wanted to do multiple years. There's people who were had the idea of making some of these provisions permanent and doing away with this nonsense for the long term. But I think given the change in the lineups, if you will, in Washington, D.C., given the fact that Congress, both houses of Congress are now under Republican control, I think this kind of leaves an opportunity for both sides to work together to come together with some solutions that maybe would be enduring. One of the few areas, there are a handful of areas that there's some general agreement that things need to be done in from both sides of the aisle, and a lot of that and some of those areas are in the tax law arena. There's some general consensus that the corporate tax law needs some work, and there's always it's always an easy argument that the income tax laws are overly complicated and could use some work as well. So there's some general agreement on those topics. Now the specifics are something entirely different, obviously.
Well, if it wasn't, then we'd have a single party system. Some people get their wish, and others will get their nightmare.
Yeah.
When there's discussion about that, this kind of thing, either on the floor or in the subcommittees, in the hearings, is there an understanding of what this stuff does, what it can mean, what it does mean, if it's not extended, if it is extended, if it's changed, altered, adjusted? Do these folks play it out two or three levels so that they can get a sense of what's going on, or do they even get that basic?
Well, it depends if you're talking to cynical Bill says that our elected officials don't think past their next election. But pragmatically, you'd like to think people would be thinking in terms of what's best for the country. And look, everybody, I don't care whether that person and I agree 100% or disagree 100%. In general, we're all coming from a position of what we think is best for the country. It doesn't mean that people are going to get to the same place, but we need to respect each other. I mean, we lost a lot of civility in this country in terms of having to have, I have 49ers season tickets, and I had them for the first time this year, which, you can see that was probably not too smart.
Good timing.
The interesting thing was the people I sat around, there's a lot of lack of civility that I noticed, and so I think we're seeing that throughout society, and Congress is less civil than it's ever been, really, now.
KINS News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, one of the things that I think is intriguing for a lot of us, heard a couple of references even so far this year on this show with local guys talking about gas prices.
Yeah.
Gas prices down, good stuff. Well, maybe, maybe not. Depends on where your retirement plans are invested into.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Kind of makes it tough if you're into the eco-groovy part of things and now all of a sudden the cost of energy is half of what it was. A lot of models that were penciling out before don't necessarily pencil out now. Same, was there, when you talk about tax breaks, tax incentives, things of that nature, are any of those things predicated or hooked at all to the price of crude, or is it something that's really a set aside standalone?
Well, most of the provisions of law, of tax law, are not necessarily going to be driven by fluctuations in oil and gas, oil prices in particular. It's fascinating right now to see, because I don't think very few people anticipated
under 50
this kind of a change in the spot price on for a barrel of oil. And you start thinking about the impacts, and I agree with you. You know, on one hand, you think, gee, this has got some real positives. And then on the other hand, you go, well, wait a minute. You know, what's going to happen with,
particularly if you live in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. This is good, but all of a sudden they don't need as many folks.
Well, there's a lot of interesting questions. Is one of the things that a higher crude oil price has done is made energy alternatives more viable. As a matter of fact, there were people years and years ago saying, the price of gas needs to go up, so these other alternatives will be viable. The good news with some of that, and good people can argue about the merits of different things, but if you start looking at the fuel efficiency of vehicles and the a lot of advances that we've made technologically, a lot of those have been because the government changed the CAFE standards. And so when the government changes the CAFE standards, all of a sudden the auto industry has to look at different ways to try to be more fuel efficient. There are a number of technologies out there that the fuel cell technology, it's out there kind of in the offing. We've seen there's some interesting questions with electrical vehicles.
Yeah, the Tesla.
And you start thinking, okay, that's fine, and then you think, gee, that's great, an electrical vehicle, and if my driving habits work for that, and I can go and get charged when I'm going from here to there, maybe that makes a lot of sense. And then you read there's studies out there that say, well, there's actually more polluting because of the nature of the energy that's created for the electricity. So. None of this stuff happens in a vacuum, and when it's like a balloon, you push on one side and it's going to bulge a little bit somewhere else, and so those consequences, and those things do happen in tax law as well. Nothing that's really being driven that I can think of off the top of my head necessarily by the price, by the change of price in gas, but the changes in the economy are certainly going to affect. Are going to be greater because of this swing. You're going to see things that, and I think the interesting thing about that's going to be because I'm sure there are people who predicted it and are going to make large amounts of money because they made the right moves at the right time to take advantage of it. But the point is, most of us didn't expect it. So what's the long term impact going to be on the economy? With a lower fuel price, and how long is it really going to stay lower? I mean, OPEC could change their production and drive the price back up theoretically.
We'll see what happens on Friday.
Yeah,
get the pipeline in, voted in. Well, all of a sudden, things can go crazy. But one of the things that we've talked over the years about with tax law is that there's an attempt to incentivize behavior modification.
Truly.
Okay, and certainly having the hybrid car and having a discount for buying was an attempt to do that kind of thing. Was there any discussion about new behavioral models that Congress was looking to try to encourage this last round?
What we did is we extended some provisions that do that, accomplish that, and then some that don't. There were some examples of things that were extended was the energy efficient home credits, and as well as there's some energy efficient commercial building deductions available, and some non-business energy property credits, and all of them we could spend 40 minutes talking about each one of those, going into the differences, and I don't think it's necessarily useful to do that, but. There's also alternate fuels and mixtures excise tax credit. So all these little things out there that have been going on, but there were some provisions that didn't go through, including the plug-in credit for 2 and 3 wheeled vehicles. So there were things that went cut both ways on this that didn't get renewed, some things that did. Interestingly, we did get the accelerated depreciation continued for motorsport racetrack facilities. So that, on the other hand, is on the consumption end, and will help to drive up consumption.
We couldn't have Florida fall apart because of Daytona. Couldn't continue.
No, it's very important that when you're having a motorsport race facility that you're able to recover your costs quickly.
You imagine how much money that thing must cost? Put 150,000 people in the seats, and then it sits quiet.
Empty.
Yeah.
I mean,
holy cow.
Well, yeah, you think about that. I mean, that's one of the things about infrastructure. You think about these kinds of infrastructure. You think about the 49ers and their new stadium. They spent, you know, a $1.3 billion to build this thing. They play there 10 games a year because they don't do playoffs. And so, you see.
Super Bowl will be there. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, as you look at some of the tax legislation, the adjustments that were made, you mentioned something at the end before the break about the accelerated tax being extended for this year. Okay, fine. So for regular guy and gal, does that mean anything, or is that just another symptom of last minute, let's slam everything together before the door hits us on the way out?
Well, the point with this whole extender provision is this stuff should be done in January, not December, because it impacts – some of these things impact decisions, some of them don't, okay? Some of these provisions of law, wouldn't necessarily impact somebody's decisions that they would make throughout the year, but they would get more favorable treatment if it's enacted. And then there are others that clearly are there to incentivize certain activities. And when business or when individuals are unsure that those particular provisions are going to be there, it limits their choices, and it means that they either have to make the decisions and then hope it works out the way they're planning for, or they wait. And then the challenge is, let's say you're operating a dump truck business, okay, and you have dump trucks, and you made a bunch of money this year, and you're getting to the end of the year, and you'd like to avoid paying a lot of extra tax. You'd like to keep the money and reinvest it in the business. Well, under these provisions of law, if you meet certain criteria, you could expense the purchase of, let's say, a new dump truck's $125,000. I have no idea how much a new dump truck is. You could go out.
Give it leather seating. Let's go $150,000.
Yeah. So you get a $150,000 dump truck. Okay. You go out and buy it, and you can write that thing off this year against your other income. So maybe that reduces your taxable income down to a lower level. It keeps you from paying as much tax. It's allowed you to reinvest in your business. You've got a new asset you can use to make more money next year.
And the dump truck makers make another dump truck,
right?
Because that one's off the line, and those folks all benefit.
The challenge is that if you don't know until the second half of December that you're able to do that, and you have to call and say, I need a dump truck, and I need it before December 31st so I can place it in service. It's not I need to order it and pay for it, and I can receive it in March. I need to get it in the next 14 days. It
needs to be on the road somewhere.
Yeah, I need to be here working for me. I need to have it, I need to have it placed in service. So it's not did I purchase it. It's not did I receive it. It's did I place it in service. So, we've used the example before of going out at the end of the year and buying a bunch of computers for your business. But if you leave them in a box in the corner, technically that doesn't qualify because they weren't placed in service. So the point is that it becomes really difficult for businesses to make decisions with confidence that they know what the law is going to be, particularly when you get, you know, there's certainly a lack of an ability to get along with our elected officials, and certainly to feel comfortable that they will to be able to get something done. See,
would it make sense, and I guess this is pure speculation, but let's say the automotive industry in America need a shot in the arm. Would the Congress and the others going along with ever say, you buy an American car this year, we'll knock $2,000 off what your taxes are? Period, end of story. Doesn't matter if it's a small little itty bitty car or if it's a big boy dump truck.
Yeah.
We'll just knock. It seems to me like something like that would really be an instant jolt into the system, and all of a sudden now we're going 24 hours a day and we got five shifts working and things are starting to hum along. Why isn't tax law used that way to incentivize behavior rather than some of these other goofy last minute things?
Well, the problem is these things wouldn't be so goofy if they were not last minute. The second thing is that whatever you do requires definitional certainty. And so when you say an American-made car, does that mean a Toyota that's assembled in Kentucky? Or does it mean only a Chrysler and a GMC and a Ford? You know, what are we referring to? Or a Tesla or whatever the case might be. So, you know, then you start running, well, we have 80% of it's assembled here, but 20% of it's done in name your other country. Does that qualify? So, inevitably, when we do this stuff, it's never simple, and we tend to make it more complicated, which
bought
in
from
turn,
a domestic dealership or something, you'd have to dummy it down, obviously, to make it come into play. But why isn't the tax code used to motivate rather than to demotivate?
Well, it has been. I mean, it's been used as an example. There were some tax credits years ago for fuel efficient vehicles for hybrids. But they ran out quickly because people, you know, each different maker got a certain amount. Well, the Priuses, you know, Toyota used their Prius allowance, boom, like that. And then some of the other manufacturers had their credits a little longer because they didn't have the same demand. But the Toyota Prius, there was such a demand that, boom, that got used up really quickly. So it has been done before. It's just a question of, you know, where do you want to place the motivation? You want to place the motivation on the consumer, or do you want to place the motivation on the business owner to make decisions about, you know, the business owner probably likes the ability to go out and purchase a particular vehicle because they can absolutely plan that. There's some comfort with that. If you're saying the government's going to do something that's going to incentivize people to potentially do business with me, that's a little less certain. Does that mean, I mean, to me, and I think probably the way you think too, if that means I'm a good business person, I'm going to go out there and attract the biggest part of that business I can. And, you know, that's where the challenge is. So you want to incentivize the good businesses, the ones that are working hard and that are trying to do their best, as opposed to the ones that are coasting along and taking advantage of whatever crumbs that somebody throws them.
It just, I guess it's been done, but perhaps not as overtly as what I would have imagined that it could be if people were motivated to get that done or use that as a tool to jumpstart the economy rather than some of the other things that have been attempted over the last little bit.
And a lot of those provisions, you know, the hybrid provision we were talking about with the Priuses and the other hybrid vehicles, yeah, that was targeted at consumers. The consumer got the benefit. I went in, I bought it, I got a tax credit. Most of the provisions of law we see, not all of them, but a lot of them over time have been based the other way. They've been based upon the business owner going out and saying, if you invest, then you're going to be able to write this off more quickly or get a tax credit. It used to be what we call the investment tax credit. Back in the 80s, you went out, if you went and bought a $5,000 piece of equipment, you might get a 20% tax credit on it immediately, so you get $1,000 back right against, and then you couldn't and then you could depreciate the remaining $4,000 that you didn't get a credit for over a period of time. And so there's been a number of different ways that the law's been set up. I think there's a lot of opportunity for simplification and for taking complex structures and make them more efficient. But the challenge is that politically, there's always people wanting a little slice, and the you know, and they want it sliced up this way because that allows them to meet a particular constituent's need, and likely that particular constituent is a good campaign contributor, and therefore it's in my interest as a politician because I think that's in the best interest of the American population that I be continue to be reelected. I mean, and that's the cynic's view, but and obviously the truth is probably somewhere between that level and all total altruism. Somewhere in between is where the truth may lie.
So this could be a campaign statement then. What's good for me is good for you.
Yeah. 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 If I ever run for anything, which I won't, because I'm unelectable. And if I ever get tempted to run for it, I'll tell you why so you can tell everyone.
Yeah. we could draw up the bumper stickers anyway. Yeah. Macaulay says...
Yeah. Well, I have the major problem of being unable to attract more than one vote.
Yeah. That'd be mine. KINS, News and Information Time 344. Even Cynthia wouldn't vote for him. We'll be back with more from Bill Macaulay.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Macaulay. Bill, for a regular guy, what would you say out of the last 3 weeks of the year, what did they win on?
Well, for most of us, we won on a few things. If we lived in a state that didn't have a state income tax, we were a winner because we now can deduct the higher of our state income tax or our sales taxes. And so if you're in Nevada, that's an important win. If you're in education, there's a teachers and classroom people that they can deduct up to $250 of classroom supplies. Kind of a nice thing. If you pay mortgage insurance premiums, that deduction was going to go away. It now has been continued for 2014. We'll see what happens with 2015. If a couple of people that had a window to do some things or one of them would be people who like making large charitable contributions and wanted to do it in a tax efficient way, could make them directly from their IRA instead of taking their required minimum distribution for the year. So if a person was required to take X amount, they could instead direct it to a nonprofit organization.
Well, that's nice for charity also.
Yeah. So that works out really well. That piece was reinstated. Of course, we're now past the end of the year, so you know people would have had to get that done in the last 3 weeks of the year. So it was of limited value. Those are the main the main thing. There was some. They also for most of us another provision that was important was the ability to deduct. In certain cases, tuition expenses, if you've got a kid in school, there are AGI limits on that. So if your adjusted gross income is too high, which it isn't real high, unfortunately, it helps a certain subset of our taxpaying population who have kids in school, but not everybody.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah. And then there was a number of provisions that were particularly beneficial to business as well.
So all in all, A, B, C, D, E, F, how do you grade this one?
Well, it's an F for when they get it done. It's an A really for getting it done because the problem is you have to do something and so doing something is better than doing nothing when you get to that point.
Thanks for coming by. We've gotten to that point.
We have.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more talk. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone. You'll see you tomorrow.